Universe Media Network 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 Network
Welcome to the STL REI Girls Podcast, recorded live at Webster Groves Garden Cafe, 117 East Lockwood Avenue in Webster Groves, Missouri. I'm Sandra Holtmeyer.
I'm Melanie Claiborne.
All right, what's new with you today, Melanie?
Well, today is a new day, and we have some sunshine today, and it's a wonderful day so far. I do have really good news. I had a four-package wholesale deal that I was working on. I just got a text that I have a buyer at the price I was asking for. So,
Congratulations. Yeah, nice. Oh, well, that's great. That's a wonderful way to have a day.
How about you?
I have a out-of-town seller that's been very nervous, and we've worked through the process, and we're closing today, so he will be relieved that I was able to help get rid of the property for him. So
fabulous.
That's great. I'm excited for him.
Great closing coming up then.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, today we are talking to the godmother of real estate and broker at Number One Investment Realty, Ann Riley. Ann is a sunny, disgustingly happy radio rock star of fun and interesting subjects, enjoys the freedom of her work, and has the dream of having enough passive income to laugh at Social Security, therefore having a happy retirement. That's great.
Thank you, Sandra.
Oh, you're welcome. Welcome, Ann. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Ann, tell us a little bit about your personal life.
Well, my personal life is I have a husband.
Okay.
And we've been married 46 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yes. And we have four grown children and four in-law children.
Right.
And nine grandchildren who are getting grown as well.
They're growing up.
They're growing up, yeah. Our baby is now 10. And our oldest granddaughter is 24. So, yeah, they're getting older.
That's great. So you've been married 46 years. How long have you been in real estate?
Well, if you want to be honest, I bought my very first house with my husband, Hammer, back in 1976, which was when our daughter, Jackie, was born. So 76 to now is a really long time.
I know, I'm trying
She's
to
not even doing the
mind.
Math, right?
Okay, but I will tell you that as far as actually like buying and fixing houses is a business, I've been doing it 20 years. We've been doing it since 1999 when we discovered that the business that we owned was never going to let us retire.
Okay.
You know, it was a family business. It had been in operation for 40 years, and it just never made enough money if you didn't work. Mm-hmm. So you could take money out, but you had to work.
Okay.
So we discovered that we weren't going to be able to retire, and that's
so
what started it.
It wasn't passive income. It was trading hours for dollars.
Yeah, I owned a job. I didn't.
Okay.
It was in no way a business by, you know, a hands-off viewpoint.
Okay. And real estate,
Real estate
can be.
Can be.
Yes.
Can be.
So what appeals to you most about working in real estate?
The freedom to choose who to do it with.
Okay.
To me, real estate is a big game. If you know the rules of the game, it's easier to play. And you get to do it with people you like. And if somebody you don't like, you just don't buy it from them, or you don't sell to them, or you don't work with them. I mean, you have much more freedom. When you have a business where people come to you, you're stuck working with the people who come to you.
Whoever walks in the door, yes.
Yeah, I had one gentleman when I was working, we owned the parts store. He was going to make me a happy woman. And he would come in at lunchtime and he'd say, "Would you like to go to lunch? I'll make you a happy woman." And I'm like, "Yeah, no." I'm like, "I'm married." He goes, "That's okay. I don't, you know, it's okay with me." I'm like, "No." And I had to be nice to him because he was my client and he kept coming in and spending money. But I was taking a lot of flack for being a woman in that
sounds
industry.
Sounds very awkward and uncomfortable.
So now, you know, if somebody makes me feel awkward or... And definitely I've had a couple occasions where I felt uncomfortable, where I realized that I hadn't thought through the situation quite, you know, like I showed a house to two men and they were working on the gas lines out, and they wanted to know, could they see the house? And I took them in, and as I'm going to the basement, I'm like, okay, I'm a single woman by my, you know, like I'm by myself, and I'm going down to the basement with these people, and like, this isn't really very smart. So I stepped back into the kitchen and let them go down the steps to the basement, and then I sat on the top step and watched them.
Smart.
Because I just didn't, it was one of those rare times where you're like, what was I thinking? So you just have to remember not to put your own self into that awkward position.
I think that's important. I'll take a little diversion here for a second. If anyone listening is an agent in St. Louis, we have great training around safety. But ladies, if you're a real estate investor or a wholesaler going into these properties, you should be careful. Think about your situation, what you're doing, take someone with you. You know, just be smart. So don't just run around and show houses to people you don't know, and just be safe. Thank you for bringing that up. We haven't talked about that on any of the episodes. Be safe, ladies. All right. What support did you have when you started? You did one house in 76, and then it sounds like some years went by, and you started doing this really full-time 20 years ago. Did you always have the support of family, or what did you rely on for support?
In the beginning, Gary and I, Hammer and I, Gary likes to be called Hammer because he hammers.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, same guy.
So, okay. I do some stand-up, and when I do stand-up, I refer to him as Hammer. So I try to remember to just refer to him as Hammer. So he's very supportive. He is a very hands-on person. He was a mechanic, and we lived a very blue-collar kind of life. So we were used to fixing the fence and planting grass, and, you know, like, we did our own home repairs from 76 on. And in 1999, we decided that the answer was to buy houses to flip and then take the money, the profit from them, and buy rentals to fund our retirement and to have a legacy for our kids. And we started out doing it with our children, and we had pretty good, I mean, there were enough of us, I mean, there were like 10 of us. So we had pretty good support among each other. Now, I'm pretty sure my parents thought I was nuts, and my grandparents weren't very wild about it, you know. and basically, we lost all our friends because we were so busy doing what we were doing that we didn't have time for friends. I mean, you could be my friend if you want to come over and hang out at the job site, but if you weren't hanging out at the job site,
we want to hang some drywall? Sure.
Yeah. That's right.
We'll have a drywall party.
Oh yeah. God. So in that respect, I'm looking back, though, and I do want to say that we had a couple of lenders who were really good for us, who were very supportive about what we were doing, how we were doing it, and they lent us money, and it worked. Now, to be honest, we ended up needing the money before we got to the rentals. We needed the money for living, and the money kept disappearing, and so that was part of the plan that didn't quite work out. So just an FYI, when you think you're going to take the money and buy a rental, unless you really are, you know, on it, it's not going to happen.
We were talking about that on another episode, having cash reserves and how important that is, and to have a backup plan. And
excellent, yeah.
Yeah, we need to protect ourselves.
So, and what type of deal was your first real estate deal? Like, there's so many ways you can do real estate. I'm just wondering, what was your first one? Did you fall into one, or did you proactively pick one up?
So, okay, we did driving for dollars.
Okay.
So this is not the house that we bought in 76. This is our first rehab,
okay,
you know, to be in business in 1999.
Okay.
Okay, so we did driving for dollars, and we drove up and down all the streets around where we lived, and we came across a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, little brick ranch on a street called Rawlwind.
Okay.
And we saw it like Sunday night, and it was dark, and there was just like there was a little sign that said for sale, like almost like you would put like on your car. It wasn't even the big one. It was the little like 6x8 piece of, it was on the mailbox. And so I called the phone number, and they said, yes, they would show it to me, but I couldn't see it until Monday. They were showing it Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock to another person. And I said, can I come before them? So that's the first thing you want to do. You always want to be the first one in. So we went over. My son-in-law, James, went with me. Gary Hammer was busy working. Everybody else was busy. James got off work at 3. We went over and looked at the house. And it was a good house. And I walked around upstairs, and I'm like, yep, we're going to do this one. I said, James, your job is to go downstairs and check the foundation, look at the furnace, look at the water heater, make sure we're good downstairs. So he's like, okay, I can do that. So he went down, and he comes back up. He goes, it's all good. So I said, how much do you want for it? And she said, we want $30,000. And I said, you know, I'll give you $30,000 for that. And she's like, okay. And I got out a piece of paper and wrote, I, Ann Riley, will buy your house at this address for $30,000. And I signed it, and she signed it. And while I'm writing the piece of paper, the other couple came in the door. And they're like, oh, we're here to see the house. And she's like, well, you can look. She says, but I think this lady over here, I think she's buying it. And so it was just literally a written piece of paper. It was a contract because it said I was buying, and I gave her a dollar as consideration to secure the contract. So
it's pretty informal, but it worked, huh?
It did. So when we went later on, I went downstairs. James had me come down, and on the wall there was a drawing of Winnie the Pooh that really looked like Winnie the Pooh. And right next to that was another Winnie the Pooh that didn't look too much like Winnie the Pooh. And there was a third one, and that Winnie the Pooh looked like he was on drugs. So it was a little scary in the basement. But it turned out that the only real problems down there were things that the grandson had left. And apparently he had been doing, I don't know, drugs or alcohol, I don't know. But he was the one drawing Winnie the Pooh on the wall. The grandson did not come with the house. He was already gone. Just want to make sure that we're clear with that. So that was our very first rehab, you know, called an electrician to put in an electric box, got the whole house painted, put in a new kitchen, had the hardwood floors, we sanded those all down. I mean, this was pretty much like we did it all. And the week before closing, they wanted a septic inspection, which we didn't know anything about it because we were living in a house that didn't have septic. Mm. So
the septic stuff was new to you at that point.
That was totally new. It was totally like off the wall. So I called somebody I knew and I said, hey, who do you know out here who can, you know, help me with a septic? So he recommended a person who came out and the guy, you know, put a cover on it, put the riser on it. And then he called to have them come out and inspect it so that the county would approve it. I mean, because it had to have a permit. And when the county came out, they said it didn't pass. And it didn't pass because he hadn't seeded and strawed.
Oh, well, that's easy.
Okay.
That's good news.
So I called him up and I said, look, it is your job to get the inspector back out here. I will get the seed and the straw and get it down, but you have to get the inspector to come back. And that's how we managed to get the property closed. So he got the inspector back, and he didn't even walk down. We could have just thrown some straw around. He'd have never known.
Yeah.
So, but he caught the neighbor going down the street with a bobcat.
Oh.
And so he was pretty quick getting out of our place and going down the street to see what the neighbor was doing.
Oh, boy.
So.
Oh. Hey,
okay. A little diversionary tactic.
Of course.
That's good. Be a strategy.
Oh, yeah. I've used that one before.
Right.
With inspectors,
yeah,
maybe
you just have to. You just need to point him at the point to the neighbors. It was great.
That's right.
Have the neighbors say around, you know, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, just pull a big dump truck into your yard.
Right.
That's right. All you have to do.
Right.
That's right. Oh my.
So,
God.
And then I just would like to say that on that first property, we did make $40,000. So it was
That's a good start.
Flip.
Yeah.
Good first
good
one.
Start.
Well, I was going to ask you what your first big success was. So that sounds great. Do you have any other big successes, either money-wise or just pride, you know, what would you say?
Or
yeah.
Helping someone.
Yeah.
You know, a time where someone was really in need and you were able to help.
Well, I would say that my most favorite house, well, I have two. So my most favorite house is the one we did here in Webster. Hmm. We did one on the corner of Greeley and Glen. And I had gone to the house, they were having a garage sale, And I stopped at the house, and yes, the house was going to be for sale, and I met the whole family. We were all sitting out in the yard, and I made an offer, and they were like, no, that's not enough. You know, I'm like, I think I offered like $145 for it. And they're like, no, that's not enough. And so I'm like, okay, well, if you ever change your mind, you know, here's my card, call me. And about 6 months later, they called. Mm. Would I do like 10 more? I guess I offered $135. Would I do $145? And I'm like, yes, I would do $145. And I really enjoyed that house. It, you know, it was a lot of fun to do. We did it with my brother-in-law, and, you know, it was fun.
Wow. Well, that's great. I guess persistence pays, right?
Yes.
That's good. All right. Well, I love hearing that. It's fun when you have a good one like that. What's your favorite type of REI deal?
My favorite type? My favorite type of REI deal is one that goes really smoothly.
Yes.
That's a good one, yes.
And since that's kind of few and far between, it seems like there is always something at the end that someone didn't think about or someone didn't account for. Or
you mean that still happens to you after 20 years? It's not just me?
No,
being in
it's
it for
still,
4 or 5 now?
No, it still happens.
Okay.
I guess like my favorite title company story is, there's two of them, but I'll give you a short one. I had a man selling 30 houses in a bundle.
Wow.
And after the title company ran title on all 30, he had like 3 pages of violations for the title work. So I took everything she had down, and I went down to his office, and we pulled out all the paperwork, and this person didn't sign this, and this person, I need a death certificate for that person, and so when we got all done, I took him back like the next day to the title company, and in an hour and a half, we had all 30 violations taken care of, and mostly it was like,
wow, that's perfect.
title insurance.
Yeah.
You know, but it was surprising. If he hadn't bought title insurance, he would have had a lot of headaches.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're right. I can't imagine not buying it, because I've heard some of those horror stories, and it covers you. It's still a nuisance, but at least you're covered financially. So
right.
Protected. Yeah.
Awesome. So what previous experience of yours was an asset to your new real estate business? You brought some skills to the table. What was that previous knowledge that you brought to the table?
Well, I had been fixing cars and helping Gary around the house for years. And I would say that that's probably the biggest thing I brought with me, because I want to tell you that so you asked me about my personal life. My personal life is I married my best friend. And so I would rather do what Gary's doing or Hammer's doing than do anything with anybody else. So like, you know, if Gary's cutting the grass, I want to be out cutting the grass. If Gary's working on a car, I want to be under the hood. If he's, you know, painting a wall, like, give me a paintbrush. I mean, I just always want to do what he's doing. And over the years, he trained me so that not only was I, you know, in the beginning, I'm sure I was not an asset and there were all these little kids running around and stuff. But, you know, over time, you know, I can get paint on a wall pretty good. And, you know, I find that to be a real zen thing for me, because the first 5 minutes I'm thinking about the paint. And then after that, I just like go to like this happy place and just, you know, paint. And you know,
it's like therapy.
It's like, yes, it's like therapy. So I would say that having brought those skills of being hands-on, and to my dad, he brought us up like we weren't little girls. We weren't like dresses in, I mean, we had Easter dresses, but I mean, it was not like, you know, we were allowed to be tomboys and climb trees, and we went hunting, and we didn't go hunting, but we went fishing, and, you know, we did things as a family more outdoorsy. So I think all of that helps in, you know, knowing about being in, you know, real estate. So, and I'm big on education. So the other week we were at a meeting and they were discussing knob and tube wiring. And they're like, oh, I like knob and tube wiring because I love those push buttons. And I'm like, push buttons are not knob and tube. Now, a lot of times when you have knob and tube, they do have push buttons, but that is not what knob and tube wiring is. Knob and tube wiring is that ceramic tube that goes through the joist that the wire runs through and the ceramic knob on the other side that holds it secure. And so those are things like, I just assumed you all knew that. So now I have a demo bag that I have, and I showed it last night, and she's like, well, what's that? And I'm like, it's knob and tube. And she's like, looks like a snake or something in there. Like, yeah, it's just what knob and tube really looks like.
Yeah.
So I just think that education is a big thing, and, you know, get it where you can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. And that is valuable when you're coming into a new industry to get the education that you can get the mentors that you can get, and get all the networking done that you can get done so you have that that scope of help and assistance.
I didn't grow up with a construction background, but I love spending time with the inspectors and the contractors and asking them the dumb questions, and I preface it with, I know this may seem like a dumb question, but I want to learn, you know, and I love when they're patient with me and show me how to do stuff. And
yeah.
How does that router work? How do you cut that angle? You know, I mean, I'm not going to do it, but I want to understand how it's done so I can see when it's done right or wrong. And so I love that. And I appreciate when people give me the patience of letting me stand there and hand them the hammer.
There yeah. are some really, really nice people in the world.
Yeah.
And now a quick word about our sponsor, a really, really nice person from Longhorn Investments. Longhorn Investments LLC is a direct private lender offering short-term acquisition and renovation capital to real estate investors for both residential and commercial assets. Highlights of Longhorn's loan program include up to 75% of ARV, finance up to 100% of cost, closing in 3 to 5 business days. That's fast. No income requirements, streamlined simple approval process, and no prepayment penalty. Formed in 2008, Longhorn Investments has funded over 4,000 loans since its inception. Longhorn's complementary businesses include a title company and a real estate law practice operating out of their corporate office. Longhorn's wealth of experience puts them in the unique position of being able to help investors through all aspects of each transaction. To get started with Longhorn Investments now, call and speak to a super nice guy, Lawrence Hopkins, at 314-749-7616. That's 314-749-7616. Or visit Longhorn Investments at longhorninvestments.com. Longhorn Investments, hard money lending simplified. And we are back with Ann Riley.
Okay, Ann, I feel your energy and you've got so much experience. I mean, they call you the godmother of real estate. Was there ever a time when you thought about quitting this industry?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, there has. And actually, sometimes it actually becomes a job, at which point you want to go, like, why did I choose this? You know, the day that the roof is leaking and the wall falls down and you find termites in, I mean, there are days when you just want to, like, beat your head against the wall. We did take a break in 2007, 6, 7, and 8, where we actually worked for other people instead of working on our own properties. And we just felt that properties could not continue to appreciate 10% every year for 30 years. And we knew that we were reaching the saturation point. And we just really took time out away from owning them and just did some work, you know, like we helped other people. You know, Gary and I both have a huge group of people who we know, friends in the industry, and oftentimes they need somebody to give them a hand. And because he's so well-rounded, he can pretty much, you know, he doesn't have a plumbing permit, but I mean, he can get your plumbing taken care of. And you know, even I learned to carry a compression shutoff valves for under sinks, because I can't tell you how many times I went to look at a house and then the water was leaking under the sink and I wanted to buy the house, but I didn't want the water to continue to leak. And then I would just disconnect and put the compression fitting on and shut it off.
Wow. I needed you yesterday at one of my properties. I know.
I carry those little gold caps around. Is that what you're talking about? Is that the compression fitting?
Yeah. Well,
it's just a little gold cap. It screws on. That's what I use.
Okay. Well, I actually have one where it has a pass-through with an actual shut-off valve.
Oh, you do have a shut-off.
So you can actually shut it off. And they make this really great little copper pipe cutter. It's about the size of a small compact.
Huh.
And you just wrap it around the pipe and roll it back and forth, like kind of twist it back and forth.
I need to follow you around.
And then you just take it apart, stick that on. And the compression fitting has a, like a beveled washer in it that's brass. So when you put it on and you screw it down, it squeezes out so that that doesn't leak. Then you just turn it off. And I keep three of them in my tool bucket.
Gosh, I need to learn how to do that. Literally, that just happened to me yesterday.
It's an easy, you know, fix.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't take a plumber to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
I keep tools in my car, so I need to add that one.
That would be a great one to add.
Yes, okay.
Absolutely. So, in your business, what was the biggest hurdle that you've had to overcome, and what did you learn from it?
My biggest hurdle was Gary's health.
That was fairly recent.
That was in June 1 of 2016.
Okay.
Gary went to the hospital not knowing what was wrong with him, and he spent 38 days there. He had cancer, and it was very touch and go. And it was very, I believe in Dave Ramsey. So I'm a Dave Ramsey life coach.
Yeah.
And I also believe in the Robert Kiyosaki, there is good debt. So I'm kind of like a midliner. You know, I believe both of them to be true. You just have to get the part that fits your life.
Right.
So I had 3 months of reserves set aside. Like Dave Ramsey wants you to have six. Well, I hadn't quite gotten to six. I had three.
Right.
And then I had a pipeline of stuff, you know, sales and things going on. So there was more money coming in. But by the time Gary got out of the hospital and he was home a month, we were through our money. And it was very, very difficult to make ends meet during that time. And I remember one of the other real estate agents that I was doing a deal with, he sent me a gift card for Applebee's. And when I opened up the mail, it was Sunday. It was a Sunday afternoon. I was down to my last $20, and I was trying to decide whether to buy orange juice for Gary or buy food. It was like we were to that point. And I opened up the mailbox because the flag was up, and it was Sunday, so I had missed getting it on Saturday, and I sat in the driveway and cried.
Aww.
And then I called Chad up, and about 3 days later, it took me a little while to, like, be able to, you know, to, like, talk about it. And I called him up, and I said, Chad, I want you to go tell your mom that she has raised a good son. I said, because a lot of people say, you know, if you need help, you know, we're there to help you, but they're all waiting for you to say you need help. And the reality is, when you're in that dire strait, you just want to bury your head. You don't want to call people up and go, hey, I need help.
Right.
You know, I called my dad, and my dad's like, yeah, well, if you need it, you know, we're praying for you. Okay, great. But, that, you know, sometimes that doesn't put groceries on the table.
Yeah.
So I would say that whole time was really difficult for us.
Wow, yeah.
So the good news, though, is that, you know, Hammer's cured. So that's not, you know, he doesn't have cancer. He will never be able to put in another 40-hour a week, you know, because he just doesn't have the stamina for it.
Right.
But he can go and help people, and he, you know, points his finger at other people's jobs, you know, reminding them of things they need to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, he can, you know.
That's important. Somebody needs to direct these guys sometimes.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, that's, to me, that was like our biggest struggle through all of this.
That's
because
huge.
There isn't, you don't have money coming in every day like you do if you have a 9-to-5 job.
Right.
You know, and you begin to wonder,
that's true.
You begin to wonder where's it going to come from? But I just want to say, God provides. So, you know,
good.
I don't like everything about Gary's illness was all taken care of by God.
Amazing.
And I mean,
divine intervention.
Everything from changing the doctor that he went to. I asked for a referral to a doctor. They told me that, you know, our insurance they couldn't take our insurance, so they sent us to SLU, and we went there, and I told them what we needed, and they're like, we're not that kind of doctor. And I'm like, okay. She says, but I think we can cure you. And then later she's like, well, where, you know, I've been looking for your referral. She says, I can't find a referral for you. And I'm like, no, we have a referral. She's like, no. She says, I even called your doctor, and they didn't refer you. And I'm like, all I have is God sent me.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, really, you know, there was no referral. The doctor's office said they didn't refer us. And yet she took us and, you know, and
wow,
then.
That gave me goosebumps.
We had, we had a $259,000 hospital bill with no insurance.
That's overwhelming.
And on November 21st at 8:02 a.m., and you have to understand, when I am not a date or number person, time person, but I will forever remember that day, the woman from the hospital called me to tell me that they were retroactiving Gary's health insurance through SSI all the way back to June 1, and they covered all of his.
Wow.
Okay.
That's amazing.
So that's when you just have to trust that God has you.
Right.
So
more goosebumps.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So I mean, we could spend a whole day and I could just tell you all the places where I've seen God touch his life in this, but I do want to share those two things because really, you know, God did provide. Mm. God
wonderful.
Does provide.
Yes, he does.
Have faith,
I believe that.
Yes. Wonderful. Whew, it's hard to keep going after that. Well, I think I may have a little bit of an idea of what your answer might be, but how does Gary and your family feel about you being an entrepreneur and working in real estate like this?
I think Gary is really good with it. The kids are like, there she goes again, you know, oh my God, what's mom doing? You know, they're, you understand, my kids are now, let's see, Kathy's going to be 45. Kathy is 45. So, like, my oldest girl's 45, and my baby was 40 last year. So, we have 4 and 5 years. And they've been through the ringer of what, you know, Gary and I have done over the years. So, they're kind of like, they kind of like tune it out, you know. And I'm like, I'm okay with that. So, Sandra, where was I going with this? Because there was somewhere.
How Gary feels about you.
Oh, how Gary. Okay, yes. So he loves it. He thinks the Godmother of Real Estate is a huge thing. He loves the radio show. The other night I was out with Ron Nash. Hi, Ron Nash. And I was trying to convince him to go out with us after the meeting. And he's like, well, I have a wife at home. And I'm like, well, I've got one of those too. And he looked at me. He's like, you got one of those? I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, you know, I got a significant other at home who's waiting for me, but I'm still going out for a little bit, you know. So, but I think he's very pleased. In the beginning, I felt forced to go from being helper wife to being the breadwinner.
Yeah.
Now I don't feel so much that it's all me, but it is. You know, he's very supportive. So, and when I left this morning, I said, hey, I'm out of jeans. And he said, great, I'll have your laundry done when you get back. Yeah.
Wow,
so
that's nice.
So, I mean,
you got him trained well. Well, that's sweet. You guys take care of each other like
well,
that.
Well, I mean, there was a time, Sandra, when that's all he could do.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he couldn't, you know, cook. And he couldn't hardly make the steps. And he couldn't. You know, I mean, there was just so much he couldn't do that he had to keep himself busy with what he could do.
Good for him.
So, you know.
Good for him.
He's kind of like taking over running the house.
Oh, that's good. It's nice to have that in the house. I would love to have a wife as well.
I know a lot of women.
What advice, Anne, would you give to someone just starting out in your profession?
Don't quit your day job.
Don't quit the day job. Okay, we've heard that once before.
Yeah. Okay, get your reserves set up.
Right.
Get 6 months of reserves so that you're not worrying about where your next meal is, so that you're not having to do an iffy deal because you've got to have a deal.
Right, right.
The other issue with that is it makes getting funding so much easier. Now, I know Longhorn, they don't really care about whether you have a day job or not because it's based on the property.
Correct.
But when you get to the point where you're doing rentals and stuff, you need to be able to refinance those out. And those people are really looking for someone in the family, not everybody, but at least somebody in the house needs to have a W-2. So please don't quit your day job, at least until you've got your income replaced.
Right, where you want it. Yeah, absolutely. I did follow that advice. I waited until I had 6 months income, and then I left my job. I figured I had 6 months to either, when I jumped, to either fly or splat. So
I did the same thing. I had 6 months, so I'm like, okay, I can go. Well, my 6 months lasted like, I don't know, three or four, because starting a business, you have expenses you've never had before. Yeah. So, yeah, you need to have at least 6 months and still a backup plan.
Right. Absolutely.
It was a whole different world for me, so I thought I was prepared, and I wasn't. So...
So, Anne, how can our listeners contact you?
Your listeners can contact me via phone at 314-686-0907. Also, I have a Anne Riley Facebook page.
Okay.
And the Godmother of Real Estate has a Facebook page. So you can, do you say instant messenger or do you say direct message now?
I just say message.
Message?
I say message, yeah. Facebook message.
Okay, you can Facebook message me on either of those, or feel free to send me a text.
Okay.
Again, that number is 314-686-0907.
All right.
So, Anne, before we go, one question we ask all of our guests is, what is the one thing you love most about doing business in St. Louis?
It's a little town. This is just a little town. It might look big, but you will see the same people over and over.
That's true.
And your reputation will follow you around. To me, you can do commercial real estate. You can do multifamilies. You can do single families. I mean, we have some of every kind of real estate. You know, duplexes, single family, triplexes. The other thing I love about doing stuff in St. Louis is I love the weather. And I know this is going to sound really weird, but even on a cold day when I have to go around and check houses to make sure there's heat on in them, you know, I wouldn't want to do the same thing day after day. You know, I like the seasons. I like to see the trees come out. And I like to see... You know, I like to see fresh snow. I also like to see snow only on the grass.
I do too. That's perfect.
I'm not really big on snow on the street. I like snow on the grass.
That's pretty.
You can only arrange that. That would be great.
Right. And the other issue is rainy days. It's always nice to have a rainy day just to be inside. You know, if I have to do book work, I'd just as soon it rain outside. It makes me feel like book work, you know. So... It's just St. Louis is so diverse, and you meet people. Now, Melanie, I've known you a long time, and I've known you a long time, but I didn't know you together, and I know you from two different places, okay? So, like, I met Melanie, I think, through Life and Air, okay? And Sandra, I met you at...
Chris's boot camp.
Chris's boot camp. Well, and even before that, I knew you from some of the RIAs.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Right. Yeah. We knew each other from RIA's. Mm-hmm. So I like the diverse way that people can come together. And the other thing I like is it's not always a boys' club here. You know, some places it's the men and the women are kind of shunned. And here I think there's a lot more acceptance for women in the industry. I think men are more willing to help here. They see value in women, and I just—it's a big thing. you know.
That is big. You hear that, ladies? You can do this.
Yes, great encouragement from Ann Riley. Thank you, Ann, for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Melanie, for having me, and you too, Sandra.
Yes,
thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ann.
Do us a favor and visit the sponsors who helped make this show happen.
To contact me, Sandra Holtmeyer, you can reach me at my cell phone, 636-856-3358. I'm on social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, at Sandra Sells STL.
And I'm Melanie Claiborne. My phone is 314-707-9122. Text is preferable for me. Sometimes voicemails get lost. Melanie at stlouissolutionsfirm.com is my email. And I am on Facebook under Melanie Claiborne or St. Louis Solutions Firm. Or Women Business Builders as well. Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, all Melanie Claiborne. And I look forward to hearing from you.
Today's show was engineered, mixed, and produced by the wonderful Antonio Holman, publisher of St. Louis Real Estate Investor Magazine.
And our theme song is Escape by the Miners featuring Rocky.
If you'd like to find more great content like this, visit stlreimag.com. That's stlreimag.com.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.